Aeneas, 40A, is a fun, loving, intelligent Korean woman in her late 20s. She grew up in Paris, France, and is an aspiring fashion designer. In December of 2012, a friend sent her a screenshot of a YouTube video. As she watched the video, her reaction was, "Who posted a video of me? I didn't know I was being taken pictures of." When she got home, she looked again and recognized it was not her, but a girl that looked just exactly like her. This girl lived in the United States. She looked on the credits of the video to find out if she could determine who this other person who looked so much like her, what her name was. And she couldn't find anything that indicated that, so she just kind of forgot about it and dropped the matter. That is, until about a month later. And the same friend who had told her about the YouTube video said that he saw this same person in another video that was a movie trailer. It was also on YouTube. And so Bordier's investigative juices begin to flow. And they kicked into overdrive, and she did some sleuth work. And she found out this woman who looked so much like her is named Samantha Futterman. And she discovered that Samantha lives in the United States and that Samantha had the same birthday as her and was also born in South Korea. So Aeneas got the nerve up and decided to contact Futterman via Facebook. She sent her a new friend request and a message. It took Futterman a few days to respond. Bordier's reaction to receiving a message back from her, complete with pictures, was, "It was pretty strange to get a Facebook message back from yourself." A DNA test proved that they were, in fact, twins, identical twins. They planned a meeting in person in London, England. And what a meeting that was. Both women say that their parents weren't very happy initially when they heard the news because they had been told that the child that they had adopted did not have a twin. The adoption papers listed the birth as a single birth. They have been so close since they found each other. They may have been torn apart at birth, separated as twins, but now they are forever bound together. Said Futterman, "We're not worried about ever being separated again." From their amazing experience, a book has been written. It's not a great picture, but it is entitled Separated at Birth, A True Love Story of Twin Sisters Reunited. A cannot be separated story also is true when it comes to our relationship with God. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. Loving Father, and I use that term because you are the most loving individual being that has ever been. Lord, your love is so amazing, it's hard to grasp. So first of all, Lord, I ask that you send your Spirit upon me to speak for you, to explain this heavenly reality using earthly terms, which is so difficult. And then secondly, I ask that your love be awakened in our hearts as the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to wrap up our series, The Greatest Chapter. That is on Romans chapter 8. And we've been at this. This is number 13, so you know how long we've been at this. And in many ways, Paul has saved the best until last. And he's going to hit us with it today. The best to last. What we look at today, if you and I approach this with an open mind and a receptive spirit to the things of God, I guarantee that our relationship with God will be fortified. I guarantee that this will be one of the most encouraging messages that you can hear as we discover the promise of God made in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. Every single solitary word in this passage is precious and meaningful. We will be blessed. And it goes on to set forth the argument that he started at the beginning, where Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And having argued this point for now 37 verses, his approach changes in these last two verses. For now, he goes from making points and being the teacher and the argumenter, he goes to a testimony that he gives. A testimony from the heart. Before we unpack this passage piece by piece, I want to look at it in one shot. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes! Isn't that good? Just three words from the heart of Paul. I am persuaded, that's New King James Version. I am sure, that's the Contemporary English Version. I am certain, that's the Good News Version. And I am convinced from the New International Version. We've been hearing the words of Paul, and now we're going to hear his heart as he says, I am convinced. No, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, I am personally convinced. In fact, Paul is so personally convinced at what he's going to share with us today that he gives 10 possible scenarios that might separate us from the love of God. And these 10 possibilities comes in four sets of two, and then we have two that just stand uniquely by themselves. I am convinced that neither, and so on and so forth. Well, let's tear it apart and deal with it phrase by phrase. For I am convinced that neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He begins with death. Death is considered to be the great separator. It separates us from our friends, from our loved ones, from our family members. Death is final in many respects. It brings life to a screeching halt. But for those of us who are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we do not have to fear death. For we believe that by faith, the words of Jesus are true when he said this in regard to Lazarus. In John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. I am convinced that death will not separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He also mentions life. And many things in life separate us. Sickness can separate us from our loved ones. Geography can separate us from those we love. War can separate families as well. There is a number of things in life that can separate us. But Paul categorically proclaims that anything and everything that happens in our life, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He goes on. He says, for I am convinced that neither angels nor demons will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The reference to angels is to the good angels. Hebrews calls these helpers of God ministering spirits sent forth to minister and to help those who love God, to help us. And an angel wouldn't think of separating us from the love of God, for angels are sent to bring us closer to God. But the point that Paul makes, even if they tried, angels could not separate us from the love of God. The reference to demons have to do with the evil angels. Scripture tells us that one-third of the angels, when Lucifer became proud and was thrown out of heaven, that they were thrown out with him and they became his helpers to discourage us, to tempt us, to attack us, to in every way oppose us. These demons are very real and they're very powerful. But they cannot separate us from the love of God. The angels won't, and the demons can't separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul goes on. For I am convinced that neither the present nor the future will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is no recorded event, no present occurrence, no future possibility. As Paul talks about this realm of time, he is saying there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God if we are in Christ. Time is powerless for believers who are in Christ. Notice that Paul mentions the present and the future, and he does not mention the past. I think there's a reason. Because those of us who have made Jesus Christ our personal Savior and have asked forgiveness, our past has been wiped clean. And God remembers our sins no more. He throws them down to the bottom of the sea and remembers them no more. Our past has been dealt with. But what about the present? Is there something that is happening to us right now that could separate us from God's love? Again, Paul emphatically states, No way. Jesus is greater than our present circumstances. Well, what about the future? Is there anything looming on the horizon in our lives, some horrible event, some unforeseen emergency, some unexpected catastrophe that could break our bonds with our God? Again, the answer is a resounding no. 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 Bad things do happen to good people, yes, but none of them, no circumstance can separate us from the love of God. Let's go on. For I am convinced, personally convinced, that any powers will not be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Any powers, and this can run the whole gamut of all kinds of evil influences, witchcraft, black magic, voodoo, New Age mysticism, astrology, fortune telling, seances, etc., etc. Paul is saying, I'm convinced these cannot separate us from the love of God. Whatever Satan and his demons can conjure up, they are powerless for those who are in Christ, and that's you and me. No one can cast a spell on us and take away our salvation. No one can call upon the spirits of the dead to sabotage our Christian faith and assurance. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And he goes on. For I am convinced that neither height nor depth will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And here he talks about height and depth. And here, Paul mentions the realm of space. If we somehow traveled high enough in outer space, could that separate us from the love of God? No way. If we somehow were to go low enough, would that separate us from the love of God? No. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said in Psalm 139:7, where he said, I can never escape from your presence, O God. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. In the depths, you are there. There is nothing that we can do as far as space goes to be separated from the love of God. And then Paul comes to his final category. For I am convinced that there is nothing, anything else in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's tried to cover all the possibilities, the possible categories of what could possibly separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And just to make sure that he hasn't left something out, he says anything else in all creation. Comes from an interesting Greek word, heteros, which means this universe or any universe. He was just trying to think of anything else that could possibly separate us from the love of God. And the resounding answer to that is no, there is nothing. Nothing in this universe or any universe that could ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want you to use your imaginations, if you will. You have good imaginations? Kids do. Sometimes as adults, when we grow up, we kind of don't use our imaginations as well. So use your imagination like a kid. I want you to imagine yourself walking down the hallway of a hospital. Okay? You're walking down the hallway of a hospital. Let's just say it's St. Joseph's Hospital. And as you're walking down the hallway, and you just kind of are waking up in a dream, and there you are in the hospital, and you find yourself walking down this hallway, and you're not exactly sure, but there you are walking down the hallway of this hospital. And as you walk down, you look to the right and to the left, and there are hospital rooms, and you look into this room, and you look into that room, and all of a sudden, there is a room that seems to be attracting you, and you head toward it, and you walk through the door. And there you see an individual lying in a hospital bed. It must be serious, because that person has all kinds of tubes coming in and out of them, and there are machines that are tracking vitals, and there must be something going on that's really serious. You look to the side of the room at the foot of the bed, and you see that there is a whiteboard there. And on this whiteboard, the nurses write different things. You look to see the name of the person who is in the bed. For some reason, you've been drawn in there, and you're wondering who this person is. And as you look at the whiteboard, your heart skips a beat. For as you look on this whiteboard, you see your name written there. You take another look at the person who is lying in the hospital bed, and your heart almost stops because it is an older version of you. There is a person who is also sitting by the bed of this individual, an older version of you. And the person that is there next to the person in the hospital bed, you recognize that person. It's your pastor. And obviously, this pastor is there visiting this person who is in the hospital bed in a very serious way. Right about then, as you're just trying to understand what's going on and taking it all in, there is a beep that goes off that indicates that something has gone seriously wrong. And in the next few moments, there are three nurses that come rushing into the room. They have looks of concern on their faces. And one of the nurses looks at the pastor and in a hurried, serious voice says this: "He, or she, whatever the case may be, is going to go soon." As this person's pastor, we are giving you 60 seconds before you have to leave the hospital room. 60 seconds? 1 minute? You watch as the pastor takes from that has been sitting to his side his Bible. And he quickly opens it to a passage. There are 45 some seconds left, and he begins to read. And he reads with a voice full of confidence and assurance. And he reads this: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The person in the bed, you, then whisper, "I am convinced too." And just a few seconds after that, you see yourself breathe your last, and you're gone. Instead of being devastated, angry, or undone with grief, you find that you have a quiet calmness about you. Because you are convinced that nothing nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you just are certain and sure that you have salvation full and complete, and that you are quietly being held in the arms of Jesus Himself, waiting for the time when He will awaken you from sleep and you will see Him coming in the clouds of glory with His angels to take you home to be with Him forever. Are you convinced? Are you convinced? Are you personally convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, your Lord? Are you personally convinced? Let's pray. Loving Father, your love is so amazing. I just know throughout the countless ages of eternity, we're going to be talking about it and exploring it and just trying to understand it, because it's deeper than anything else that we understand. Lord, as we have wound up this series on Romans chapter 8, it's been a true blessing to me personally, and I hope it's been a blessing to those that I've shared the word with. The theme of Romans 8 is the assurance of salvation. And Lord, as Martin Luther once said, when I looked at myself, I didn't see how I could be saved. But when I looked at my Savior Jesus, I didn't see how I could ever be lost. May our eyes not be on ourselves, but be on the spotless Lamb of God, our divine substitute, who went to the cross and died in our place and now gives us His perfect holiness. May we look to Jesus, and may we live the kind of life that we really believe that we are saved, and be representatives, ambassadors for you, Lord. I ask this name in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen.